Today we focus on the pressing humanitarian crisis unfolding in Sudan. Since the war broke out in April last year, thousands have lost their lives, millions have been displaced. Despite diplomatic efforts, the situation remains dire. Today joining us, Dalia, who is a Sudanese journalist with deep insight into the Sudanese conflict, join us. Dalia, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Shukran for joining us. Can you provide us with an overview of the current situation in Sudan and how the conflict has evolved since it started last year?
Well, in terms of the war front, it's actually expanded from when before it was between two main states, Khartoum and Darfur. It's now expanded into Al Jazeera, which was the largest state that was housing internally displaced Sudanese, and also Kordofan, which is where the Nuba Mountains, and also there's a history of conflict in that area as well. And diplomatic efforts have all failed. And a year on in this war, and we have the highest displacement numbers in the world. There is famine in certain areas of Sudan. And the worst case scenario is that if humanitarian funding is not achieved, there'll be 10,000 people will die daily from famine, from hunger. There's an outbreak of diseases like cholera and dengue fever, sexual violations and human rights violations continuing. The massacres in Darfur of the Masalit tribe by the rapid support forces, the paramilitary, I think it's hit 20,000 people. They've discovered something like 13 mass graves. So the situation isn't getting any better. And yesterday there was a humanitarian pledging donor conference in Paris. And my understanding is that the Americans are pushing for another peace talk negotiations in a few days in Jeddah to revive the Jeddah peace talks. So we wait and see, yeah. But I'm not holding my breath for any change in that sense.
So what are the main factors that are continuing to drive the conflict?
Power. Neither side is willing to admit defeat. And they're also both being backed by outside actors who have deeper pockets and are happy for this conflict to continue, because war is a profit game for a lot of people, for a lot of entities. And there's also, there's lack of interest, so to speak, in this part of the world. So there's not much effort from the international community to bring an end. Even the African Union, it took them 9 months to set up a panel to focus solely on the Sudanese war. It took them 9 months. African Union, the regional power, organization. The Arab League has done nothing except, release a resolution calling for a ceasefire during Ramadan, which neither side adhered to. The United Nations took them a long time to even discuss the humanitarian situation in Sudan in the Security Council. They only discussed it in January. So there's been a lot of dragging of the feet from all regional actors and international actors. The Americans have now set up a direct envoy for Sudan. And he's been doing the rounds, he's been meeting all the civilian leaders, political parties, the local responders and the youth activists and so on, and human rights groups and civic groups. But he hasn't met with either the RSF leadership nor the army leadership. And they're the two who are waging the war. And so diplomacy has failed, shuttle diplomacy has failed, pressure has failed. There have been some sanctions, new sanctions placed by the likes of Canada, the UK, and the United States, but they're not having much of an effect. And as long as, weapons are allowed to be smuggled in and they're allowed to buy weapons, either side are allowed to buy weapons, this war will continue. Because by continuing to buy weapons, they're making manufacturers and certain entities happy.
Yes, the unfortunate situation that he's in. Looking ahead, you know, what are the prospects for a peaceful resolution? You said that, you know, as long as the weapons continue to be purchased, it may continue. What are the key areas that have been affected by the conflict in terms of essential services, healthcare, food, clean water? What's the situation in that regard?
80% of Sudan's hospital and health facilities are rendered inhabitable. They're out of service. Education has been put on hold. I think something like 19 million school children are out of education. The harvest season has been affected because Al Jazeera State is considered to be the heart of the agricultural areas of Sudan, and so there's been no harvesting. So for this year, there's no crops, and Sudan its economy is very much agricultural dependent. So if that's not happening, then you can guarantee there's going to be a lot of, you know, there's hunger, there's malnutrition, there's hunger, and there's going to be famine. So all services, you know, there was a telecommunications blackout for more than a month, which actually shut down all banking, online banking and mobile money transfers, which a lot of people who are still in Sudan depended on. So it's just, and the economy has contracted by something like 18% in less than a year. It's taken both Yemen and Syria 10 years for their economies to contract by 15%. It's taken Sudan less than a year to hit that number. So there's nothing positive coming out of Sudan these days, unfortunately. But I still believe that with the right amount of pressure, with the right amount of levers put in place, a solution needs to be found, because the longer this war continues, the more devastating it will be on the country and on the people. You know, Sudan's population is 44 million. More than half of the population is facing hunger. That's an astronomical number.
Yes, it certainly is. And as you said, that we cannot lose hope. With the right amount of pressure and sanctions, things can change. We certainly hope that we'll come to that at some stage, sooner than later. Talia, shukran for speaking to us. Jazakum Allah khair.
Thank you.
We'll continue making dua for the people of Sudan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam. Taslam. Assalamu alaikum.